at him for reassurance. Leon had no time for conversation or religion, and it certainly wasn't his job to make the silly old woman feel better about being in a plane. God didn't pay the bills, he thought, although many padres would disagree. And the only conversation he wanted to have was with himself, about his future. Looking ahead, he imagined when he would fly up the front in the first-class cabin. However, the reality right now was that he had to pawn his grandfather's gold cufflinks and pocket watch to scrape together enough money to fly to Paris for the couture shows. The cash flow in his father's tailoring shop was lacking, to say the least. It was fortunate that his family owned the building, otherwise they would be out on the streets, he thought, as he watched the curtain open in first class and saw a hand holding out a champagne glass for a refill. Leon held back an urge to push into the cabin and demand a seat. That was the problem with Leon, his grandmother always said. He would never wait for things to happen naturally. Things happen in their own time, she would tell him, but he believed no one. He knew where he wanted to go, and that was to the top of the fashion world. He knew he could turn his father's failing business around and create fascinating Spanish couture for the royals and high-class women of Spain, if only people would invest in him. Leon leaned his head against the side of the plane and allowed himself to dream of dressing the finest women in Europe. By the time he woke, the plane had landed in Paris. Reaching into the overhead cabin, he pulled down his suit bag, carrying his one and only good suit, courtesy of his father's shop, and his carry-on luggage. Ignoring the woman next to him, who was smiling, hoping he would lift down her bag for her, he stood impatiently in the aisle, waiting for the plane doors to open. Leon had a plan. He would take inspiration and ideas from the Paris shows, return to Spain to take over his father's shop, and turn it into a must-visit-and-buy atelier. He was sick of reading about the successes of Chanel and Chloe and Yves Saint Laurent. He wanted Spain to be on the fashion map, and the house of de Santoval to be at the top. Leon left the airport and took the bus to his low-budget hotel in Montparnasse. He had to be careful with money. He could afford to eat only once a day and was hoping that he could charm his way into parties and soirees that were on for Fashion Week for contacts and finger food. Paris was still the home of fashion, no matter how hard London and New York screamed from the back of the ranks. Careers were made and reputations ruined by one bad showing. Leon knew the 1980s were going to be unlike any other decade. There was money around, and much of the snobbery had fallen away when new money began to make its mark on society. The fashion houses could not afford to be selective anymore about who they dressed. The pop stars and movie stars were becoming the new royalty, and Leon instinctively knew celebrity was where fashion was heading. Arriving at the hotel, Leon went straight to his small room and undid his suit bag. He took out the fine gray wool suit with its purple silk lining and checked his bespoke John Lobb black leather dress shoes for shine. Leon was not afraid of color. He was not afraid of anything, for that matter. Unpacking his meager collection of toiletries, he placed his Floyd aftershave lotion on the bathroom counter and surveyed himself in the mirror. Tall and thin, with his slightly receding hair combed back, a hooked nose and black eyes. He was not handsome, but it didn't bother him. He would rather be smart and rich. People were always more attractive when they had money, he thought. Leon was planning to visit as many fashion shows as possible, having managed to get tickets from some of the fabric companies his father still used. The tickets would mean that he would be standing at the back of the shows, but he would be there, scanning the buyers from the big stores to see what items they noted on the runway.